pray. Let's go ahead and, again, if you're not already there, turn to Psalm 148. And this is something I was at work, obviously, last night, and I usually have time to do a little bit of a personal Bible study time, as you know, we get an hour for lunch or so forth, and sometimes there's not a lot going on at work, so it's always a good time for me to be able to spend some time in the Word of God. I try to do that, just get my own personal devotion time taken care of. And so, and what I'm doing, I've already read completely through the Word of God. It was my goal this year, and so I've been coming back and going through the book of Psalms, starting in Psalm 119, and now last night I found myself in Psalm 148. And I really just want to share something that stood out to me for a few minutes, and just hopefully, again, God will edify us in what we need to see and what we can take away from this. And obviously, Kurt just read the psalm, and obviously, if you're going to think, what is the major theme of the psalm, it's praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. And a lot of times, it's easy for us to praise God when everything is going well, but do we praise God when things are not going well? But there's more to this than this, and to be honest with you, the thing that really stood out to me is where I'm going to concentrate on is in verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3, again, it says, praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. Now, obviously, we're talking about God's creation, and when we remember back to the reading that occurred, reading through all this, it's like everything in God's creation, everything, let them and it praise the Lord. It even talks about beasts, animals praising the Lord. But it really hit me, and I don't know how many times I've read through Psalm 148 in my life. But when I read it this morning, it really kind of stuck out. It's like, wait a minute. Again, praise ye him, sun and moon? How can the sun and the moon praise God? When you think about your natural, I mean, have you ever thought about this? We go outside. I mean, the sun's up right now. I know there's clouds and there's ice and rain, snow, whatever, and all that other stuff. But the sun is up, obviously, because we know it's light out there. But do we hear the sun actually praise God? Do you hear the sun speak and say anything to you? Or what about the moon? We just had a full moon just a couple of nights ago. And, you know, you look at the moon, it's like, I at work, I looked up at the moon when I was outside, and I'm like, I didn't hear it say anything. Did you? How does the moon praise God? So a lot of times we just read through Scripture, and we just kind of read through it, and we don't actually really think about what's being said. But that's what the Word of God says. And not only that, it's just the stars that give light. But the stars praise God. You know how many stars there are out there? I know you don't know. We talked a little bit about it in our question and answer Bible study. I mean, even in our galaxy alone, we have, what, 400 billion stars? That's just our galaxy. I mean, but the stars praise God. And just bear with me a little bit. It's like I'm looking at this and I'm reading this. It's like, okay, well, the sun is praising the name of the Lord and it's praising God. And the moon is doing that. And the stars are praising God and so forth. I mean, that's what the Word of God says. And we take the Word of God literally. What about me? Am I praising God? Last I checked, I mean, I know they talk about there's a man in the moon. It looks like there's a man in the moon. We all understand that. You know, obviously, we know there's not a man in the moon. But if the moon can praise God and it doesn't have a mouth, the sun can praise God and it doesn't have a mouth, the stars praise God and it doesn't have a mouth. They do that. God commanded it, created them to do that, to set it so, and it is. What about us who have a mouth? Are we praising God like we need to? So let's have a quick word of prayer, and then I'm going to kind of give a couple of cross references, and we'll be done today with this. And just, you know, again, hopefully the Lord will give us something out of this. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and I praise you for all that you do, and I thank you for your word. And just taking an abbreviated break from Job, and we'll finish it, Lord willing, next week. And I think it'll be a good time in that message and in that chapter. But just taking a little bit of time now to look at this, because so often, especially in the light of this year, we've been looking at how you give comfort in the midst of the conflict and going through trials, going through struggles. It's not our tendency, it's not our thought to actually praise you when we're going through a tough time. But your Bible says that in everything give thanks, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us. Obviously paraphrasing that, but in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18, that is your will that we're supposed to be thankful in everything. So even as we go through the trials and the struggles and the things that we do being on this planet, the things that we go through, and especially if we're serving you, we're going to go through suffering, we still need to praise you. Now, we're in Psalm 148, you know that, and we see that in your very creation that you've created, it praises you. The question is, what about us? Are we praising you? Father, help us to understand this today. Help us to apply these things to our lives, and just I pray you meet with us a little bit today and just give us an understanding of what we need to see. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. When we talk about praise, I want you to get this, in a sense, out of your mind. A lot of times, I think as Christians, when we think about praise, we think about, well, that's when we sing to God. And, you know, I'm just going to say this. I know me, speaking of me personally, it's not like we are some great choir here and got beautiful voices, and that's, I mean, we do what we can. We do what we can with what we got. And God, that's all God cares about, is that we do that. But praise is more, way more than just singing a hymn or singing a praise or singing a... There's more to praise than just dealing with singing. Singing is an aspect of how we can praise God. But there's so much more to that, and I want to show you that in dealing with praising God is by, again, sharing the truth of the Word of God praises Him. And so when we talk about in these verses here, again, from Psalm 148 and looking at verse 3, it talks about, praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. God created the stars. He created the moon. He created the sun as a testimony to Him. That's how they praise God. And it's more than, obviously, I haven't ever heard the sun sing. I haven't ever heard the moon be able to sing or say anything, or the stars necessarily, as far as audibly hearing something them saying. That doesn't happen. But it doesn't mean that they don't praise God. The Word of God says that they do. And praising God, again, is not just hymns. It's a matter of teaching God's truth. That's the reason why God created the sun and the moon and the stars in the first place. I want you to go back to Genesis. One of our references we're going to look at here, Genesis chapter 1. This is dealing with, as we know, as far as God and dealing with 6 days of creation, rested on the seventh day. And I want to specifically draw your attention to day 4, to when He is dealing with creating the lights. A great light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. And He also makes the stars also, but He also lays out for it the purpose that He has for them. In Genesis chapter 1, I want you to pick it up in verse 14. We'll read down through verse 19. Again, Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, says this, "And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven." That's what we would call outer space. "So to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also." It's almost kind of like, oh, and by the way, He made the stars. And you look outside and all the stars ever have, it's almost like a second. Oh, yeah, He made the sun and the moon, and by the way, yeah, He made all the stars too. All right, like it's no big deal. I mean, that sort of thing. With God, it isn't. But He makes them, and He has them for time, for seasons, for signs, and so forth. But He goes on, and I want to read and continue on in verse 17. It says, "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day." One of the things I want to point out here is you see that, again, the purpose of the sun and the moon and the stars, again, is to mark time, and we keep our time by the stars and so forth. Today we still do. Even with all our modern technology, we still keep our time by the stars and everything like that and mark our history and so forth. But the thing I want to draw out for you is what it says down in verse 17. "And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." There's a need for light to be upon the earth. Because, obviously, if there's a need for light, that means there is darkness. And the sun and the moon and the stars are to give light upon the earth. Now, we can sit there and we're talking about, we know that the sun is a picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. Malachi talks about that in chapter 4. I won't have you turn there, but He's the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in His wings. We've talked about that before, and it's literally spelled capital S-U-N. The S-O-N, Jesus Christ, is pictured by the S-U-N that we see every day. All right, and it obviously gives light upon the earth. The moon is a picture of, really, a believer in Christ. The moon doesn't have any light of its own. If you remember back in Job, when we were in chapter 25 of Job, one of the things it says is that the moon, behold the moon, it shineth not. They knew that back then. The moon doesn't have any light of its own. It reflects the light of the sun. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. God has set that so. The physical God's creation that He has is a picture of what we're supposed to be doing spiritually. We're supposed to be giving light on the earth. That's how we can praise God. You see, the sun and the moon and the stars praise God every day, every night. That's how God created them, and He set them in the firmament or in heaven to do so. They are following the commandment. They are following the purpose that God has given them, and that is to praise Him by giving light on the earth. Giving light. It's not just singing a hymn. Not just singing a song. Not just saying, I praise you, Lord. It's about teaching truth and giving light to a dark world. That's how we can praise God. Most Christians today, you say, what does it mean to praise God? I'm telling you, they're going to give you some hymn, some worship song, or something like that. There's that limited aspect of what they think of praise. But praise is about giving light on this earth by teaching people the truth. Why? Because this world's in darkness. It's in darkness. And we're supposed to be giving light. I want you to go real quickly to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to pick it up down in verse 14. And if we could, if we can do what verse 14 says, man, that'd be something else. That would be something else. I want you to notice what it says here, because it really falls into what we're talking about praising God. All right? Even when the times are tough or you have to do things that are not necessarily pleasant to do. Notice what it says. In Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14, we're going to read down through verse 16. It says, do all things without murmurings and disputings. All things. Not murmuring, not complaining about it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Is there any one of us right now that can raise their hand and say, yep, I got that verse down. I mean, not talking about having it memorized down, actually being able to apply it. There's nothing that you've done that's not, you know, murmur or complaining. This verse is a challenge to me every time, sometimes I drive to work. Especially when they call it a bypass. You know, and me and Quincy Street, we have a little thing going on because bypass, you know, I'm supposed to be able to pass, you know, not to stop for anything, but I'm telling you, Quincy, and there's nothing more that really gets to me when the light changes red for me and there's no cars coming the other direction. I don't understand that. All right, but anyhow, I digress. All right, there's so many things that it's hard for us to do without murmuring, but that's what the Word of God says. That's what it says. He's talking about being a light to people on earth. If they can see you going through a tough time and you still are praising God, you're still thanking God, you're still teaching truth, you're still giving light, that's going to say something. That's going to speak to them. Verse 15, it goes on, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. We are in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Why did God establish the sun and the moon and the stars? To give light on the earth. Why is there a need for light on the earth? Because the earth is in darkness. And it needs light. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to give light. We're supposed to be not hiding ourselves from the things of this world, being closet Christians. No. In the midst, we insulate ourselves with the truth of the Word of God, and we stand in the midst of this darkness giving light so this world can see that there's another way. We are supposed to be praising God by giving light. It says this, again, verse 15, I'll read on to verse 16. It says, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world. How? Holding forth the word of life. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I'm not run in vain, neither labor in vain. All right? How am I going to be a light in this world? How are we going to be a light in this world? How are we going to praise God? By being light, by holding forth the word of life. This is our flashlight. This is our light to show people and tell people, man, there's a different way, there's a better way than this darkness that you're in. And when we do that, guess what we're doing? We praise God. Anytime we're sharing the truth and the light of the Word of God, guess what we're doing? We're praising God. It's not just singing a hymn. It's not just singing a praise. It's not, no. I mean, yeah, that's something that can be a part of it, but it's about teaching truth. It's like, well, is that what the sun and the moon and the stars are doing? That's how they're praising God? By speaking truth? Yes. Go to our next main reference that I want you to do. I want you to go back to Psalms, but Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And we're going to start in verse 1. I think most of you are familiar with this psalm. We've used it this year as we're coming through Job and talking about how God teaches us through His creation. Psalm 19. Psalm of David, starting in verse 1, it says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." Remember, where did God set this greater light and this lesser light and the stars? In the firmament. We call that outer space in our language today. The firmament means expanse, and obviously outer space is a big expanse, and He has set the sun and the moon and the stars there to give light upon the earth, and again, and it's to declare the glory of God. Now notice what it says in verse 2. This is how the sun, the moon, and the stars praise God every day. "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." The sun and the moon and the stars praise God. The sun and the moon and the stars give glory to God. They declare the glory of the Lord. They have speech, it says there. It says, "Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." It's an incredible amount of things that God's creation, the sun and the moon and the stars, can teach us. The problem is, we're not listening. We don't listen. Alright? And to be honest with you, I mean, the same, God wants us to do the same thing as the sun and the moon and the stars. He wants us to praise Him by teaching truth, to be able to give out the truth of the Word of God. And there's going to be where people are not going to listen. We know that. We're all, I think, familiar with 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, where it talks about Paul telling Timothy to preach the Word of God, you know, in verse 2. But it says the time is going to come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They're going to turn away their ears from the truth. That is a reality. But does that mean that we stop praising God? Stop preaching the truth? Stop showing the light on the earth? Well, they're not going to listen to me anyway, so I'm just not going to say anything. That's not what God tells us. The command is to be like the sun and the moon and the stars. Every day, as it says here, day unto day, night unto night, utter speech. We're supposed to teach and preach the truth. Praise God daily. No matter whether the world is going to hear it or not, our job is to preach it. Again, Psalm 19, verse 2, moving on, it says, "Day and a day utter speech, and night and a night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. And them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun." And it continues on from there. It's the same sun and moon, the same stars that God has set up in Genesis chapter 1, day 4, to bring and to give light upon the earth. It's the same sun and moon and stars we talked about in our initial passage in Psalm 148, verses 3 and 4 through there, how they praise God. They've been created to do so. Has there ever been a day that the sun hadn't come up? Has there ever been a day where, you know, we don't have the moon? I know there's the phases of the moon and so forth, but when it's supposed to be a full moon, did the moon said, "Nope, I'm not feeling it, God. Nope, I'm going back to bed." But stars, "Nope, not feeling it. Nope, not going to do it." Every day. Hey, I mean, I know scientists, it's like, one of these days our sun's going to burn out. A billion years from now. Are we worried about a billion years from now? No, we're not. Plus, they have no idea what they're talking about anyway. My point is, the sun and the moon and the stars are faithful every day, every night, to praise God, preach truth, to give light in this dark world. What about us? Every day we get up, are we ready to praise God? Again, I'm not just talking about I'm going to sing some hymn, sing a song. I mean, I'm not mocking that. That's a small part of praise. All right? It's beyond that. It's giving light, sharing truth with others. So I want you to go back to Psalm 148. I'm going to look at this again before we move on and really kind of finish up. Psalm 148. Again, verse 3, it says, "Praise ye Him." This is a command, by the way. "Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created." He commanded. They were created. And created to do what? Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Incredible name. Incredible name. They were created to do that. We are also created to do that. I want you to go to Colossians real quick. Colossians chapter 1, I think, is what we need. Book of Colossians in the New Testament. And Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Colossians chapter 1 and... we'll pick it up in verse 15. Speaking of Christ, Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 says this: "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him," by Christ, "were all things created." And we're talking about the sun and the moon and the stars and all of His creation. Everything was created by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Part of the Trinity. "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Now, when it talks about how everything was created by Him and for Him, that includes you. That includes me. We were created by Him, by the Lord Jesus Christ, and we were created for Him. For Him. To be able to serve Him. To be able to praise Him. He created us with a purpose. It's like the sun and the moon and the stars. They had a purpose in praising God by giving light on this dark earth, and they do it faithfully every day and every night. Not taking any vacation time. Not taking any sick time. Every day. Every day. What about us? You're in Colossians. Again, we're talking about praise. What's praise? It's way beyond just singing a hymn or singing some praise song. You're in Colossians. Look at chapter 3 and verse 16. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, this is the verse, especially for the body of Christ, for us to have any kind of, you think, what a music ministry should be? Man, this is the verse for it. And it's talking about, notice, again, at the end of this verse, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So, again, praise, singing is a part of praise. But notice what it says in the first part of this verse: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another." By the way, hymns and psalms should be something that teaches you truth. We got a lot of songs in Christianity that are Christian, but they ain't biblical. It may sound good, may get the emotions all riled up, but you might as well, some of these things, you might as well be singing Highway to Heaven. All right? I mean, you guys do know that song, right? I mean, I'm not just, okay, good. All right. Or Stairway to Heaven. That's not what it is. Stairway to Heaven, it's Highway to Hell. All right? And well, you're not going to sing that one for sure. All right? But, you know, but Highway, I mean, they're not telling you any truth. All right? And so, yes, praise is going to be something that is, you know, part of singing and hymns and songs and spiritual songs. But the first part of that verse is talking about, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Even our praise should be reflecting of that of the word of God. It should come from the word of God. It should be, our praise should be to what? Able to teach and admonish one another. Just like the sun, just like the moon, just like the stars, their line has gone out. They have uttered speech, day unto day, uttered speech. That is praising God. That's what they were created to do, and that's what they do. What about us? Sun's up. Yeah, I know there's clouds, and there's a storm, but the sun's still up. And there's times in our life that we have clouds and we have storms and things don't feel right and going right and maybe there's all kinds of issues and problems maybe that's going on. But guess what? We're still created and commanded to what? Praise God. Teach truth. Kind of ties us back into our vision this year, right? Comfort in the conflict. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, where it talks about how, what, you know, that God is the God of all comfort, that comforts us in what? All our tribulations. Why? So that we may be able to comfort them with the same comfort that God gives us, no matter what trouble they're going through. That means we're doing what? In the midst of our struggle and our conflict, we take the comfort that God gives us from His Word, and that we're ready to praise God by turning around and teaching it to others who are going through the storms of life. Render winter advisory. You know what that means. It's funny. My AccuWeather, I was with one of the other agents at my job, we're laughing about this. He was saying, yeah, AccuWeather should be actually called inaccurate weather. At the beginning of the week, you know what my AccuWeather said about the weather? Anywhere from 6 to 10 inches of snow for our area. That's what it was at the beginning. You know what it says now? A dusting. Maybe an inch or something like that. They don't know what they're talking about. But no matter the storm, no matter what it is, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to be like the sun, like the moon, like the stars. Praise God. Teach truth. That's really going to make a difference. Most people think your Christianity doesn't do anything for you. And a lot of times, you know what? Lost world has an argument. Because when we go through a tough time, how do they see us react? No different than the world. Well, why do I need Jesus? I look at you and I look at your life and, you know, something happens and you know, you're pitching a fit. Murmurings, disputings, complaining, weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm saying there's some things that are tough, that tears are going to come, but do they see us still praising God? What did Job do after he loses his income, loses his 10 kids? What's he do? The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Naked come I in this world, naked I go out thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's praising God. And he wasn't singing a hymn or a song. He was teaching truth. And when we finish in Job 42 next week, we'll see where God says, you know what? Job spoke that which was right concerning me. Eliphaz, you and your two buddies didn't. Job was praising God. In the midst of the storm, he's still being a light. He's still teaching truth. I want you to go back to Psalm 148. One last time and pick up one last thing, one last thought and we'll be done. Psalm 148. Starting in verse 3 again, it says, praise ye him, sun and moon. praise him, all ye stars of light. That is a command that God gave to his creation to do, and they were doing it. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise, notice, the name of the Lord. For he commanded, and they were created. What is the book? Praise the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? He is Lord Jesus Christ. His name is a Trinity. He is Lord. That's the authority. Jesus, that's the humanity. Christ, that's his deity. Lord Jesus Christ. He's master. He's the one that's in control. He's the one that understands what we go through. That's that name Jesus. That means Savior. Alright? He's been tempted in all ways that we are tempted, yet without sin. He understands what we go through. Let us praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, beyond just singing a hymn and singing a song, but teaching, giving light to people, praising the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven why men must be saved. You look at this. A couple more references. Look at Acts, first of all. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. This is the apostles, you know, and they're again before the council. They are telling them that, oh, we don't want you preaching in the name of Jesus. You need to cut that out, so forth and so on. And Peter's like, well, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to continue to praise him. All right? We're going to continue to do that, no matter what kind of persecution you put on us. Acts chapter 4. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. It says this. And so I'll pick it up in verse 11. It says this. Speaking of Christ, this is a stone which was set at naught of you builders. So I mean talking to the Pharisees. Which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Buddha is not going to save you. Muhammad is not going to save you. No human being on this earth, their name is not going to save you. There's only one name. Lord Jesus Christ. It's his name that we need to praise. It's his name that this world needs to hear. That we need to praise, that we need to teach, we need to show. You go over to Philippians real quick. Philippians chapter 2 again, but this time we're going to pick it up in verse 9. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9. We'll end it with this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, speaking of Christ, wherefore God also have highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. There's a day coming where everybody is going to confess that, even the lost. But we're believers in Christ. I believe everyone here has accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I mean, we confess that. And that's how we're saved. Believe in your heart, confess with thy mouth that he's Lord. All right? And talked about that again. And in verse 11, it says, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I'm going to end like I began. The sun, the moon, and the stars praise God, and they don't even have a mouth. Every day, every night, they are praising God. They're teaching truth. What in the world is our excuse? We have a mouth. That workplace you go to, that family gathering that you have, whether you volunteer in a community, whatever it is, are people hearing you praise God? Do they hear you teach truth? We can look at the sun and the moon and stars. I guess, obviously, they don't have a mouth. Obviously, they're not speaking, but yet they are. How? Because of what they do. Their testimony. Their life. Well, it's the same thing that we need to do. But we have, a greater opportunity because God has given us a mouth to speak. A lot of times, you know an excuse that closet Christians really use about why they don't say anything to somebody? Well, I'm letting my life be my testimony. And your life obviously should be your testimony. I mean, we shouldn't be preaching and teaching anything that is not, our life is not backed up, being backed up by the Word of God. But it can also be a cop-out to saying, you know what? Well, my life is the testimony. Well, you know what? God gave you a mouth. Don't fall into the excuse like Moses. Oh, God, send somebody else, you know, because, you know, I'm not a great speaker, you know. I can't form words right and all this. God said, who made your mouth? Last I checked, it was me. Don't use the excuse that some of the Christians use like, oh, well, I'm just going to let my life be the testimony. Well, yeah, it needs to be, but God has given you a mouth to say, thus saith the Lord. He's given you a mouth to praise Him by teaching truth and giving light to that co-worker, to that neighbor, to that family member. And it shouldn't be the other way where you're saying this, this, that, and the other, but your life is not matching it up. That's a hypocrite. It goes hand in hand. What do we need to understand, see today? One, that praise goes far beyond just singing a hymn, like we're getting ready to do here in a second. It's about teaching truth. Every time you share the truth of the Word of God, you are praising God. You're praising Him. Somebody asks you a question. You're able to give them the Word of God. You have just praised God, and you also just please God. I don't have time to get into all that. Not my purpose today. But preaching the truth pleases God as well. Every time we have an opportunity to be light in this world, like the sun and the moon and the stars, you can rest assured and know by the Word of God that you have praised Him and that you're pleasing Him. Sun and moon and stars, they do it every day and every night and have been doing it for thousands of years. Thousands of years. What about us? Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank you and I praise you for today. I thank you for having this time in a word. And I'm always amazed that even, and really almost not something necessarily random being picked, and it comes from my devotion. But even in it, how it can tie into what we've been looking at all this year in the book of Job. And Lord, look forward to next week and finishing it up. I think my study in chapter 42 warrants a whole another week of study, to be honest. Lord, I thank you for your direction in this, and I thank you for directing us in what we're seeing today. Because it really is a simple message. It really is. Help us to be a light in this dark world. It's what you've created us to do and commanded us to do. Lord, help us to praise you on a daily basis. To praise your name on a daily basis by being ready to speak truth. Yes, let our life line up with the truth. But let us not be scared to open our mouth. If the sun and the moon and stars can praise you every day and they don't have a mouth, what should we be doing? We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.